are listening to the Elephant in the Room podcast with your host, Sutta Singh. Each week, we will bring you a diverse range of inspiring speakers on issues of inequality and inequity. You will hear stories about fairness, justice, belonging, and about best practice for creating a more inclusive workplace. So, if you are an individual or leader interested in a fairer, equitable, compassionate society and workplace, this podcast is for you.
My guest on the Elephant in the Room podcast this week is Nitin Mantri, Group CEO of Avian WE and current president of International Communications Consultancy Organization, OECO. In the past, Nitin was the president of the Public Relations Consultants Association of India for 5 years. Thank you, Nitin, for being a guest on the Elephant in the Room podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
So let's get started with the questions. The last year has seen seismic changes in our society and the way we live and work. In the last 18 months, organizational purpose also has become a buzzword. Everybody is talking about purpose. And I mean, people have been talking about purpose for a long time, but not as much as it has been spoken about in the last 18 months. How important is purpose? And not just from a comms perspective.
I believe what's happened is that while purpose was important, I think even before the world was turned upside down by the pandemic, purpose was gaining importance in boardrooms. The pandemic just accelerated the whole piece, and it's now become a business imperative. And from 2019 to 21, the expectation for brands to create stability in uncertain times has risen by 30%. So just to give you some excerpts from a report, in previous years, Brands in Motion Global Reports established that consumers expect brands with purpose, humanity, and authenticity. In 2021, what we call the Bravery Mandate, pulse of purpose to inform organizational decisions on how to speak and act on societal issues and purpose initiatives at a given point. And the report actually finds that the brands that will flourish in 2021 and beyond are the ones with the courage to take bold actions and make strong stances with the full understanding that not everyone will approve of them. So, for example, consumers and B2B decision makers surveyed for the 2021 Brands in Motion report rated environmental sustainability and income equality among the top issues they wanted brands to address. 71% respondents felt that brands have an obligation to engage with social, global issues when they impact the business and stakeholders. And they're more likely to purchase or recommend products or services from brands that address societal issues. I'll just touch upon one more thing here, which is purpose washing. And I would say that purpose does have its pitfalls as well. So even though brands across industries are taking up social good marketing, there are instances of purpose washing. People or brands eager to gain eyeballs and profit, brands are choosing causes that they think will strike a chord. So in fact, the Brands in Motion finding on purpose washing talks about this. It says that despite a rising expectation, brands' perceived impact for societal good remains flat. And 52% said that brands that take stance on societal issues are just trying to sell more products or services. So the audience wants brands to help, but they aren't yet convinced that brands are delivering. So the task ahead for brands is to bridge this sort of disconnect.
Yeah, there's still skepticism. So when we say a brand is purpose-led or has purpose at its core, what does it mean?
So when we say a brand is purpose-led or has purpose at its core, we mean that brands are rooted in their own values and are clear what they stand for. So even if part of the audience doesn't want to hear it, they should be clear about what it is that they stand for. So these brands ground their purpose statements in long-term quantifiable action. Microsoft talking about reduction in carbon over by 2030, for example. Truly purposeful brands build on their core promise and make long-term single issue investment to build purpose, credibility, and endurance. So the idea is, how do you do it? Finding your purpose and leading with it. Purpose has become a must-have, and therefore it determines not just which brands or how they'll stay viable in the next few years, but in my view, decades to come. So that's how important it's become.
How does it align, you know, this new need? And this is not driven by altruism on the side of corporates or businesses, but by a broader need from society. People want brands to behave in a certain fashion. So how can brands be in a way, because it doesn't align with the fact that the key business of business, as we have learned in comms, is to do business and to make profit and answer to shareholders for as long as we can remember. So does this mean that if you're purpose-led, that you have to really do business in a different way? Or
I strongly believe if you follow your purpose, profits will follow. So I think in this sort of what I call the new fractured world, profits won't be possible if you're not purposeful. So, I mean, what will happen if your consumers don't want to buy products if you don't follow purpose, right? So it may be tempting for brands to shift focus towards their own financial worries or financial priorities. I mean, they shouldn't treat the balance between purpose and profit as a zero-sum game, right? So if you withdraw from your purpose and stop contributing to creating and supporting a better, more sustainable future, then in my view, there will be no profits in the end. So today's audiences want it all. In fact, again, to quote from a brand emotion study saying that silence isn't an option. And that kind of cozy middle ground is shrinking fast. But this opportunity, in my view, for brands to truly step into their own light and tell the world who they really are and follow their purpose. I think it's a great opportunity, in my view.
Brilliant. Are there examples of businesses that stand out for being purpose-led in your experience, some that you've probably worked with or heard about?
Oh, yeah. I mean, several brands. I think some of them have done some really wonderful work. Reckitt is a client we worked with for many years now. And Reckitt has been engaged in a multi-year mission to improve the health and hygiene of communities in India. About 750 million people live without access to basic sanitation. And more than 120,000 under the age of 5 die from diarrhea, for example. Reckitt has provided a whole skill development training for sanitation workers. Their brand Dettol has launched a hand-washing curriculum for school children. And after COVID hit, Dettol donated product care packages to more than 150,000. And this is not just India. Even in the UK, they donated packages to 150,000 NHS workers and donated media space to the government for public health announcements. So there's Reckitt, for example. Then there's McDonald's. They're doing a lot. I'm just moving away from COVID. They're doing a lot with people with disability, and they've created something called Eat Equal, which is a specialized packaging solution to eating a burger with one hand easier with people with lack of mobility. Giving an example of Godrej, in India, they have a huge land base in Vikhroli, and Godrej & Boyce's wetland management services team has been managing and conserving one of the largest mangroves in Mumbai. And taking their efforts a notch higher, they've actually joined hands with the WWF India to further strengthen the conservation efforts and promote awareness of that area. I mean, it's quite amazing what they've done. So multiple examples, not just India, but across the world.
It's heartening to know how brands are moving purposefully ahead and that there are opportunities for brands to live their purpose actually in today's fractured world, as you said. So who's responsible within a business for articulating organizational purpose? And what is the role of the C-suite, the CEO, in living this purpose? So the role of CEO in the past year has evolved. It has changed so drastically. The leader or the CEO is not just expected to be somebody who's driving profits and shareholder growth, etc., but they are expected to be, what do you say, more paternal in terms of their employee engagement, the stakeholders and how they communicate, and also be conscious of the societal issues. This is difficult because most CEOs are techno-managerial. They have those capabilities. So who drives this articulation of purpose, and how does a CEO actually manage to help the organization in this place?
Good question. I think brand purpose is a group commitment, right? It cannot be farmed out to a department or a project team. So it cannot be that this is my team that will just work on purpose of the company or the organization. It has to be a group commitment. And genuine purpose doesn't kind of swoop down from leadership or shareholders. It'll actually come down from the company's heart and soul, its people, really. And it belongs to everybody. So if the whole company base does not belong to it, it'll never be successful. So it has to go down from the C-suite to the interns rising organically together. And you know, purpose begins at home, right? So this is how brand purpose will truly work, when every single person in an organization believes in it and is driven by it. And the brand's purpose in the DNA of the company, by and large, right? So before brands try to save the world, they must ensure that their own organization is in order. You know, you can't run a mental wellness campaign if your managers are sending emails at 3 a.m. in the morning.
You know,
so purpose has to start at home. In fact, again, our Brands in Motion survey respondents rated employees as the group executives need to communicate with the most, more than customers, shareholders, and media. So 75% executives should communicate with the employees about their personal position on issues at least every 6 months. That's the report. So there's a lot that people are doing around it. So for example, in India, we are running a campaign, you know, as you're aware, India was struck badly by the second wave of COVID in April this year, right? Yeah. And many people lost loved ones. They were impacted. At one point, I can tell you, we had 50% staff away because either they were impacted or they were taking care of loved ones. And we really thought, what will be best when people will really be involved? And as soon as the second wave was over, we launched a campaign called Puri Taiyari Hai Kya. It's a campaign around getting people to follow COVID appropriate behavior and encouraging people to vaccinate themselves. And it's still running. We launched this in September, I think, and it's going to go on post Diwali. And that's where I think people want to get involved in it because they were so badly hurt by the second wave. So I think we need to just take that perspective. It has to be inbuilt within the organization.
So I referred to it in my last question. And how has the role of leaders evolved in the last 18 months, not just the C-suite, but leaders generally? You mentioned employee engagement. I think that's become one of the key things that they need to also focus on now.
So one is employee engagement. They really need to communicate frequently. C-suite executives who show courage to communicate frequently and with authenticity will stand out as leaders, in my view. And I think CEOs like Microsoft, Satya Nadella, Bumble's Whitney Wolf are speaking out in a very, very personal way, for example, and doing so very frequently. And I think they have changed a lot of audience perceptions. I think also leaders are coming to terms with their fears and limitations while acknowledging the same in others. They're coming out to be more authentic. The 86% of the leaders surveyed in our report, they said they have become more introspective during this time. This introspection has become the starting point, in my view, for a whole new leadership paradigm. So hardwired into believing that leaders should be stoic, relentless, and fearless, the whole leadership concept revolved a lot around infallibility in the past. COVID happened, and the pandemic exposed gap in health, administrative systems, and the vulnerabilities of our personal and professional identities. So now leaders recognize the importance of acknowledging what I would say human imperfection and leading with compassion. I think that's the way the role has evolved for leaders. It's changed to that extent.
It segues very neatly into my next question on key traits of inclusive leadership. What are the traits according to you?
I think the first and the key leadership trait is listening for real. I'm adding the words for real, right? So I think it's not just about sitting and listening to people, but for real. Again, I'm saying it for the umpteenth time, but it will start with employees. It will start with your people. Leading today requires listening without judgment. The new age leader must be open to engaging in difficult conversations to set things right. They must be available to their people always. For example, during the first pandemic lockdown in our firm, we had set aside an hour a day to listen and address people's concerns. Managers held regular connect sessions with the teams and talked about how they can manage things better. Secondly, apart from listening, you need to practice empathy. So inclusive leaders need to reach out, connect with people during a crisis. In fact, this is a crucial step, right? This realization changed the way at least I led my teams. In fact, I got COVID in the first wave in September last year. It's been over a year now. I shared with them about my COVID experience, right? I was very open about it because during the first wave, a lot of people were not even sharing. You know, it became like a stigma. When I got COVID, I actually addressed the issue up front that I have COVID, right? And how I dealt with it. So empathy is very important and sharing is very important. And finally, I think we've talked about this, but people over profit. So inclusive leadership means prioritizing community must be an organizational practice. And we need to take an active role in what I would call initiating and maintaining relationships with diverse groups, both inside and outside the organization. So I think those three things would be very important for new leaders.
How have practitioners stepped up to the challenges of the last 18 months? And what are the trends in India? Because BAMS practitioners have suddenly sort of found their moment under the sun. They've become more relevant in terms of how visible their role has been, whether it is for external or internal.
Yeah, I think the 18 months have given us that opportunity to radically rethink how we connect with one another, right? And how we share ideas and collaborate. I think some of our best campaigns were devised and executed during the lockdown. A lot of people were like, it's not going to happen. We may not be able to be creative. We may not be able to do this or that. But honestly, nothing changed. I mean, we did some great campaigns. We delivered everything. So what I think communicators have done is they fast-tracked tech competence to meet the demands of the stakeholders, right? They've adopted future-forward technologies that encourage what I would call digital agility amongst all team members. They've implemented interactive, hyper-responsive campaigns suited to the new reality. AI is something that people are toying with today. I don't know how much it'll be successful. We're trying to build work cultures around holistic well-being. I think that's very important. And then I think just the fact of how do we listen to people, right? Listening, I mentioned you earlier. Practitioners today need to work with more teams. Some trends, I would say, to consider would be accelerated digital transformation in the new normal, really. Increased integration of data and creativity. So how we use data to build creativity. Understanding larger geopolitical shifts today, because there's been realignment completely from a geopolitical perspective, right? So all those things are happening in India. And those are trends, I think, which I wouldn't think are far away from global trends either. I actually think that the Asian culture, per se, was more about working in the office a lot compared to the West, because West was still doing a lot of flexible working and they were still working remotely.
Yeah.
But in India and a lot of Asian markets, it wasn't happening. And people were still of that mindset that people need to come to our office, right? And I think that's been the biggest shift for a market like India and for an industry like ours.
Absolutely agree with you. Even like 5 or 7 years ago, if you looked at the UK or US or Western markets, they had the early Fridays and the time that was so sacrosanct. But India, it has been like a 24/7 thing. So that's a huge trend, absolutely. Do you believe the role of comms professionals has changed irrevocably? And what do aspiring leaders in our industry need to do to keep pace with the change? Because often I have noticed, and maybe I'm now an outsider, so I may be wrong about this, but a lot of our leaders, most of them are generalists and they're very good at what they do, but they're focused on delivering to their best and they're not focused on the broader issues. Like you mentioned, that you have to be conversant with what is happening in society. You have to learn new things. You have to learn how to engage with your team members differently now. So do you agree, first of all, with what I'm saying? And how can future leaders keep pace with this?
Yeah, I think it's changed in two ways. One, COVID has changed it to the extent that we are working with people remotely. We are doing remote working and we need to just think of different ways on how we're going to create campaigns, etc. Secondly, I think the industry itself has changed. I'm talking from India perspective. We're no longer amplifying things. Divergent thinking, creative shaping of PR strategies are becoming the hallmark of our industry. I think we'll have to be real and compassionate. We must have to listen, learn, and engage with employees and take a hard look at their own behaviors. We must be able to articulate personal values. I would say we'll have to be in a constant state of introspection that would kind of enable people to reflect on their beliefs and acknowledge actions and how they, in fact, impact organizations. I think the two other big things would be that, one, be open to change. I think we just realized that one thing, that change is going to be a constant now. And that's going to be very, very important. I mean, today, we've opened our office, right? After 18 months in September, we asked people to voluntarily come to office if they want to. Some really want to come back to work. Some really don't want to come back to work. And I think we'll all have to find that midway. So we have to be open about change. It's not going to be like COVID is over and we're not going to be back to office at the same pace. It's going to be different. And maybe 2 years later, there'll be something different. I don't know. So it'll all, in my view, keep changing, and we'll have to be ready for that change.
Absolutely. How are agencies ensuring they're future ready and fit for purpose? What are your thoughts on this?
How are agencies going to ensure they're future ready and fit for purpose? I think we'll just have to act with more, I would say, boldness and conviction and bravery and start on a solid foundation. We have to define our purpose and values and make that mission statement a North Star and guide everybody around that. I think agencies have to walk the talk. We do advise our clients on how they have to act with purpose. But I think what is going to change is about how agencies will walk the talk and act with purpose as well. So we'll have to stay our course as well. So for example, we've taken on 3 issues this year, right? Over the last year and this year. We did 3 pieces. We said we are going to focus on, one, mental health, because that was a big piece for us, right? Because of the pandemic. We've done multiple things with people, right? We run a campaign called We Care internally. We have an employee assistance program where people can call this helpline and talk to somebody in confidence for free anytime they want. We've got experts coming into the office and talking. We did something yesterday with Dr. Parekh from Fortis Hospital for everybody on World Mental Health Day. And the third piece we're doing is around diversity. So we tied up with Rainbow Literature Festival, which is a literature festival for the LGBTQ community. Yeah. And we took out a book called Consciously Speaking, which was on how to use the right terminology when working with the LGBTQ community, because people did not know how to address people in different ways. And that's something we did on our own. We launched it. Fiki helped us, and it's pretty good. And we're doing the second launch now of that book. So we took on these 3 broad areas on working with us as purpose for us.
Yeah, good to hear. And what you said, that agencies have to really walk the talk if they want to be in a position to advise clients and the C-suite, because I think the aspiration is that we should be advising board level like consulting firms too. But then consulting firms also lead a lot on these issues around DEI and on purpose, ensuring that they are seen as repository or they have the expertise. And I think future comms professionals or agencies have to be able to showcase that if we are to continue to be relevant. So we've got to the last question. Where do you find your purpose and what drives you every day?
Good question. So I'll just go back a bit. I worked in India for a few years and I went to the UK for a few years and I came back. And when I came back, I said, how do I contribute back to this industry, right? Which has given me a lot. And I think I did a couple of things. I started teaching and I think that was one way of giving back to me. And of course, also talent was a big issue in our industry. And I thought, what better way than to kind of hone talent and get people excited about the profession?
Yeah.
That's been core to me. And secondly, I've been very keen, probably 10, 12 years back, we started our own social impact practice. And I think giving back to society was been a key thing for the agency. And even during the pandemic, we made sure that we didn't stop that piece. So that whole diversity piece, the consciously speaking book, that all happened during the pandemic. So we didn't say that we will not do this. We will not do something to give back because the pandemic is on and we have to all focus on business. So we didn't stop. So I think the whole diversity piece is very close to me. The whole teaching, giving back, or doing something for the industry is very close to me. And I think one of the reasons you see me in different positions in different associations of in the comms industry, whether it's ECO or PRCA, one of that is that reason, really. So, yeah, that's what drives me, just making sure that this industry becomes bigger and make bigger and better.
And that's such an amazing thing to say because, yeah, we need more leaders. We need more people with experience to actually contribute in a way that the industry grows and has not just that one focus on skills, but on a whole host of things, which is more holistic. And I guess that's what you bring to the table. So thank you very much, Nitin, for this conversation.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us this week on the Elephant in the Room podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on any of your favorite platforms, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts. And if you enjoyed listening to the podcast today, don't forget to write a review and tell your friends. Sign up on the link in the show notes to receive updates on our guest speakers, blogs, and events. And don't forget to tune in every Thursday for new episodes.